Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Well, we've got a great broadcast for you today. And recently, I had the privilege of ministering at a Biker Sunday at Harrison Hills Pentecostal Church in Jewett, Ohio. Pastor J. Hugh Rose and Pastor Kurt Denny. And Brother Rose has been a hero of mine for many years. And the younger minister, the younger pastor there, Kurt Denny, was my first opportunity to meet him. And what a great guy he is. And the Lord moved powerfully in that service. And we want to present for you the message that I delivered that day to the Biker Sunday in Jewett, Ohio. Let's roll the tape.
The Bible should blame the woman for the sin in the beginning. But where was Adam? What was he doing to protect the garden that God told him to protect? And God placed them in that garden, and God there gave to them a small set of responsibilities. One of their responsibilities was they were to enjoy relationship with God. The voice of God, the Bible says, came and communed with them. God's voice talked to them. They communed with God in the cool of the evening. Relationship with God. The other thing is, God looked at the man. He had made everything else a dual-gender system. And here the man is just the man. He's not a dual-gender system yet. And God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'm going to pause and talk to the young people again. Young people, you need to realize that this culture is trying to tell you that marriage is evil. Right. This culture is trying to convince you that marriage is some deep, dark cave that you should be afraid of. Just fornicate, just enjoy the single life. No! God said that He made them male and female. He said you're supposed to get married. God along that, young people, this culture not only will try to convince you, to scare you out of getting married, this culture will try to scare you into not having kids. Amen. The command that God gave to the human family, be fruitful and multiply, has never been rescinded. The Bible says children are a blessing. The culture says children are a curse. The Bible says marriage is a good thing. The culture says marriage is a bad thing. At some point, you've got to wake up and realize there's more than one set of voices here, and who am I going to listen to? Somebody said, I don't need people. I got God. Oh, really? God had a relationship with the man and still said the man was alone.
Yes.
Adam was in a perfect relationship with God in a perfect paradise. And God said, it's not good. He's alone. In the words of Bishop Pastor Emeritus Rose, put that in your pipe and smoke. I'm just going to enjoy the single life. I'm never getting married. You go ahead and disobey the laws of God if you want and see how that works out for you.
Right.
I promise you this. God does not give us these good things and tell us these things are good because He hates us. He doesn't lay out this beautiful creation, these beautiful laws and beautiful ways of order in our life because He hates us. God is a good God. He made us with good intentions. He has good thoughts for you. He has good plans for you. And if you're smart, if you know what's good for you, you'll say, I trust God smarter than me. God works for us. Man to sleep, took from his rib. I think probably it's not there in scientific terms, but I think probably we're talking about some kind of a divinely orchestrated DNA replication cloning thing. Took from his rib, and from the rib he produced the womb man. Somebody said he made the womb man. A man's been saying, whoa, ever since. And so God charged him with a relationship with the creation. Tend to and protect this garden. God charged him with a relationship with humanity. And he had present in his life as an unspoken mandate, a relationship. relationship with God. Can I tell you, those three things are the core essence of happiness. Keep your relationship with God strong and number one in your life. Keep your relationship with your wife and all other people on a right and godly and righteous plane. And then be good to the creation.
Amen.
Amen. We are the stewards of the creation. Amen. You know, there's one place in the Bible where it talks about how that a man, it's godliness when a man treats his animals right, takes care of his animals.
Yeah.
I always, it weirds me out when I meet people that get pleasure out of torturing and killing animals. There's something ungodly in the world. And so here it is, Adam and Eve are in the paradise of paradise. They're in a garden where they can eat of the tree of life and live forever. And God gives them all of these fruits and all of these vegetables to eat from. He has provided everything they might ever want. Adam doesn't have to work for his breakfast. He just wakes up in the morning, and when he stretches and reaches out, there's his breakfast. Everything's ready. And God says to them, there's just one don't. Out of all the do, there's just one don't. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Here comes the snake. God's holding out on you. He doesn't have your best interests at heart. He's not a good God. As folks, it is the same lie he tells today. That is the same stinking lie he tells today. Turn to your neighbor and tell him that's the same stinking lie. It's the same one. Folks, at the very core of your existence, you've got to come to a place where you make up your mind. God is good. God has good plans for me. God has good dreams for me. God has a plan for me from out of eternity. So they ate of it, and now comes past the buck time. The first thing they did when they sinned, they realized that they were naked. They went and made aprons for themselves. I jokingly call it fig leaf bikinis. And the voice of God came to fellowship with man in the cool of the evening. And Adam said, we better hide. And the Lord knew where he was, but just for the sake of asking and for the sake of the answer, he said, where are you, Adam? I'm over here hiding in the bushes, Lord. Why are you hiding? I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree? Well, it's the woman's fault, Lord.
Amen.
Now, naturally being a good submissive wife, Eve followed her husband's lead. He led by passing the buck, so she passed the buck. It was the serpent's fault, Lord. The Lord said, I'll tell you what's going to happen when I wait in here. All of you is going to be punished. He pronounced a curse on Eve. He pronounced a curse on the serpent. He pronounced a curse on the man. And in reality, it wasn't God that cursed them. It was their choice. Their choice cursed them. And in that moment of curse, God said, if I leave them in the garden, now forgive me if I'm overreading too much into this, but I don't think I am. Now this part where I'm paraphrasing God's thoughts, just stay with me for a minute. God said, if I leave them in the garden in a cursed state and they eat of the tree of life, then they will live forever in a cursed state. And I can't even imagine a more terrible punishment than letting them live forever in a cursed state. So I will show mercy to them by blocking their access to the tree of life and granting them the mercy of a death to end this cursed state. The Bible says, many people have this false doctrine that he cast them out of the garden to get them away from himself. No. Read your Bible. It says that God said, if I leave them here, they can eat the tree of life. Dot, dot, dot. He put them out as a mercy to them. And now they're out of the garden without access to the tree of life. But there's one detail we need to look at. And we often miss this detail. God looked at them and said, fig leaf bikinis won't do. That will not cover your nakedness.
Right.
Can I tell you, we still preach modesty?
Amen.
Amen. there's even more to it than that. God said, not only am I going to give you more modest, more adequate clothing, but he said, you're going to realize a spiritual principle that whenever there is sin, something has to die.
Yes.
And he said, I'm going to make clothing for you. I'm going to make leather coats for you, but I'm going to have to kill an animal to do it. And so God killed an animal. Now the Bible doesn't tell us what animal it was, but I can only imagine that it probably might have been a lamb. But we see in this moment that as God slew the lamb and made the leather coats for them, we see a foreshadowing of Jesus, the Lamb of God, dying on the cross. And so it is that when they're outside of the garden now, we see that their children begin to approach God. One of their sons, by the name of Abel, says, I will approach God in this way. I will be a farmer, and I will take cattle, and I will take the best of the cattle, and I will shed blood unto death, and I will offer a sacrifice and worship to God. And another brother by the name of Cain said, that's nasty, that's gross, I don't like all that bloodshed. I don't like all this talk of blood in our religion. I'm going to grow vegetables, and I'm going to break open melons in my worship to God. And we don't exactly understand how, but somehow God was able to convey to Abel that his worship was acceptable. And somehow God conveyed to Cain that his worship was unacceptable. What was the matter? One had no blood in it. The other one did. One had no foreshadowing that pointed to the cross. The other one did. There are whole church organizations today that are taking the blood of Jesus out of their hymnals and out of their pulpits. Folks, the day the church stops preaching about the blood of Jesus is the day we stop being the church. Where he says, why is your countenance fallen? That scripture that says that sin lies at the door, Bible scholars tell us that it's possible that that means that, look, a sin offering lies at the gate. Right? Look at your brother's corral. It's a sin offering right over there at the gate. Why don't you give some of your melons to your brother so he'll give you one of his lambs? Why don't you have a relationship with your brother so you can have a better relationship with me?
Amen.
There's one place in the Bible that says, how can you say you love God and hate your brother?
Right.
There's another scripture that's where he said, if you don't forgive these humans their trespasses, neither will the Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Amen. Can I tell you, it is foundational to true relationship with God that you have got to have a relationship with people.
That's exactly right.
Cain said, I'll tell you what. Not only am I not going to have a relationship with Abel, I'm tired of trying to have a relationship with God. He rose up and he killed his brother Abel. Folks, a failed relationship with God and a failed relationship with people go hand in hand.
Amen.
And people who don't know how to get along with God don't know how to get along with people.
That's right.
And the scriptures tell us that God, in Jewish prophecy, there's some neat little literary agencies in Jewish prophecy. One of them is a way of repeating things to make the point. Like, they'll say something about the heart, and then in the very next few words, they'll say something about the mind, and they mean the same thing. And another little trick they do is the way they'll give lists. They'll give a list this way. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. That's a little Jewish literary thing. Start off saying six and then they extend it to seven. It's just a little thing that they do in Jewish writing. But in that list, the last item on that list of things that God hates is he. Now he's a personal pronoun. We're talking about God hating a person. Somebody say, God loves everybody. Read your Bible. Now I understand his love is limitless. Are you aware you can love someone and hate them at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, y'all ain't never been married. I got one and a half. Let me tell you like Brother Denny, but the one and a half of us that are here. Yeah. Are you aware you can love somebody and hate them at the same time? Can I tell you there are sinners that God loves, but yet He hates them at the same time because of the choices they're making?
Yes.
And the scripture says these six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination. An abomination is that which is abhorred, that which is hated. And it says, He that soweth discord among brethren. Did you know if you dissect the Ten Commandments, more of them are about relationship with each other than are about relationship with God? Think of your relationship with God as vertical and your relationship with people as horizontal. It forms a cross. You want the cross of Christianity in your life? You better learn how to get along with people. Oh, I'm preaching. This is an awesome church. Phenomenal worship. Phenomenal preaching. Phenomenal history. Phenomenal leadership. Phenomenal stability. It's a phenomenal church. But it's a phenomenal church made up of phenomenal human beings. And because we're all just people, we're susceptible to the problems that people have. I don't even have to ask. I didn't counsel with the pastor to ask him if there were marital problems. We're humans. I didn't counsel with the pastor and ask him if there's relationship problems. We're humans. I promise you, if you think that you're going to get away from the trouble by leaving this church and going to another church, you got another
That's
thing
right. That's all right.
Because when you leave here and go there, you're going to find out they're human beings too. Let me tell you something. A strong church is not a strong church because you never have problems. A strong church is a strong church because you use a biblical way to approach solving your problem. Yeah. And you learn to love one another in spite of the problem. One way I know I'm in a strong church is because this church is having spiritual babies. Amen. It thrilled my soul to see that big stack of new birth certificates being given out here. Amen. Can I tell you that babies don't know, I'm not sure how to say this. Babies don't know their appointed place to do their business. I'm not trying to be hard, folks, but can I tell you that if you got newborn babies, you're going to have a little bit of confusion going on because you got some business being done and it's not appropriate.
Yes, that's right.
You'll have people airing stuff in a Bible study that should have been done in a private counseling session.
Oh my goodness.
Folks, can I tell you, the devil will never give up on you.
That's right. Never.
You think after you've lived for God 3 years, you're home free? You better think again.
Right.
You think after you've lived for God 30 years, you're home free? You better think again.
Lord,
how many of you should be living for God? He's thinking. Cogitation.
About 64.
You know what, folks? I got good news for you. Not only will the devil never give up on you, but God will never give up on you. See, this circle, that's me. Everything outside that circle is stuff I don't do, stuff I don't wear, places I don't go. Everything inside that circle is who I am. Some people say, I will not have a relationship with you unless my circle and your circle matches up exactly. Folks, what are you going to do when we get to heaven? And there's people that come from a different country than you, that speak a different language than you, that have a different culture than you, that had a different upbringing than you. Amen. Folks, we are all in a journey, and we better learn to do our best to look past the differences and find reasons to fellowship with and love one another. I'm not talking in people. We are building people on purpose. We are relating to people on purpose. We are building marriages on purpose. We are building families on purpose. That's godliness. Somebody said, hey, listen. You'll never find anybody that preaches godliness and modest apparel more than this preacher right here. I love it. I preach it. I believe in it. Yeah. And somebody says, no. I won't have a relationship with that. And godliness is what's on the outside. Jesus said, clean up the inside of the dish and the outside of the dish.
Yeah.
And you'll never find anybody that preaches outward holiness more than I do. But folks, we better be preaching inward holiness.
Amen.
And we better recognize that if you are doing things that damage your relationships and sever your relationships to other people, that is not holiness. That is ungodliness. That is unholiness.
Amen.
Now, here's the thing. Nobody who severs their relationship with their brother thinks they're being ungodly. Nobody! Everybody who does something that builds a wall of separation between them and their brother, everybody either does it under the mask of religion, I'm protecting God by building this wall, or they do it simply because they're hurt. Now, folks, if somebody did something to hurt you, the Bible lays out a way for you to approach that. Jesus said in Matthew 18, if your brother trespasses against you, go to him. Privately.
Oh,
we're private, all right. We're private with all 13 of the people we gossip to about it. And we go to everybody but the person who did it to us.
Okay.
You know what? The way we respond to it is carnal nature. The way the Bible says to respond to it is godly character.
Right.
And some, hey, folks, I'm telling you, a strong church is not a church where you'll never be done wrong. A strong church is not a church where nobody will ever do anything to hurt you. A strong church is where when somebody does something to hurt you, you read the words of Jesus and say, I am a believer. I am a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
I will obey the Bible way to approach solving this problem.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody shouting around the aisles, but I'm preaching right now. Tell you a true story. I'm a techno geek guy.
Amen.
I speak about six languages and four of them are computer languages. I have texting disabled on my phone. I'm not preaching against texting. Still, I have texting disabled on my phone. Texting is disabled on my wife's phone. You can text me, but if you want to text me, you have to text my Google number. Now, if you call my Google number, it rings my home and my cell. If you text my Google number, it converts your text into an email and emails it to me. I'm not trying to be isolated. But folks, when someone texts you, you can't hear the tone of their voice. You can't see the expression on their face. And what's more, you don't even know for sure that it's them. I've seen the devil use texting and instant chat sessions on Facebook, instant chat sessions on Twitter. I've seen the devil use that stuff to drive a wedge between Christians more than I've seen any other tool he's used lately. And can I tell you that you need to be careful? Jesus did not say, if your brother trespassed against you, text him. But you text them, all right? You think that discharges your Christian duty to go to them privately? It does not. I'm telling you a true story. A preacher friend of mine, a phenomenal preacher, tremendous integrity, tremendous preacher, great man of God. I mean, this guy exemplifies Christian morals and decency and Christianity. He contacted this backslidden teenage girl on Facebook. We're getting ready to have Bible study. We'll invite you to come. Then he started flirting with her on Facebook. He started telling her she was hot. And trying to find out, where does she work? To arrange face-to-face meeting. She's backslidden, but she's still got enough of something in her that she is saying, this something's wrong here. So she shuts that conversation down. And she tells her grandma, who's still in church, and she tells her granddad, who's still in church, and she tells her mom, who's backslidden, and her dad, who's backslidden. But that's all she told. Well, no, wait a minute. She also told her aunt and her uncle, who are preachers, who that he's a preacher. But that's all she told. Ever anybody say, well, have you told anybody? No. Well, only Jesus said, your brother has offended you. Go to him privately. What do? Fire up the email press. Fire up the Facebook press. Fire up the Twitter press. Fire up the texting press. Finally, one of those six people that she told contacted that preacher directly. And it was a scathing rebuke, tempered by an expression of love at the beginning, and tempered by an expression of love at the end, that included, there is the possibility that your Facebook account is active. The preacher had indeed been active. He had not propositioned that girl. He had not told that girl she was hot. He had not asked her where she worked at. He had not tried to arrange a face-to-face meeting with her. He hadn't done any of that stuff. Someone that hated him had hacked into his Facebook account and was doing that stuff in his name. Folks, you're looking at a preacher that is trying to tell you that if there was ever a day and an age that we need to read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 18, and if somebody has trespassed against us, obey Jesus and go to him privately. In a single moment, they could have ruined that preacher's life.
That's exactly right.
Folks, sometimes what somebody has done to hurt you, they didn't even do. You imagine it. And somebody, oh no, I didn't imagine it. The devil has been driving people apart for thousands of years. He is extremely efficient at it. He is brutally efficient at it. And he hates the church. You know what the proper response? When the devil tries to drive a wedge, the proper response is for the church to unite stronger and in more unity than ever before.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm closing. Come on up here. This is my son. Come on, Kyron. Kyron is an awesome young man. Come on, Kyron. I need somebody else. Brother, I like your spirit. What's your name? Jonathan. Come on, Jonathan. The Bible tells about the armor that we are to wear. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Loins girt about the truth. And breastplate of righteousness. Shield of faith. Helm of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. The Bible describes all of the armor that we are to have. And here he is. He's got it all along. But can I tell you folks, you can search that list from top to bottom and you will find that there is nothing in that list that is protecting your back. And can I tell you that when the devil does his best to drive you and your brother apart, you need to tell the devil, say, devil, I got my brother's back. And you ain't going to be able to stand. Right. So here they are. Turn your back to back. Here they are. I got your back, brother. And what do you think the devil's going to try to do? He's going to try to wedge in between them and try to break them apart, try to get in here between them. He's got a problem, though. Because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.